واذكر في الكتاب مريم إذ انتبذت من أهلها مكانا شرقيا.
O Muhammad, peace be upon him, recite in the book the account of Mary when she withdrew from her people to a place towards the east. O Muhammad, peace be upon him, recite in the book the account of Mary.
For comparison, see towards Understanding the Quran, Volume 1, Al Imran 3, Note 42, Paragraph 251-2, and Volume 2, Al Nisa 4, Notes 190-1, Paragraph 105-7.
فاتخذت من دونهم حجابا فأرسلنا إليها روحنا فتمثل لها بشرا سويا.
And drew a curtain, screening herself from people, whereupon we sent to her our spirit, and he appeared to her as a well-shaped man. And drew a curtain, screening herself from people.
We learn from Surah Al-Imran, see verse 35, that Mary's mother had vowed that Mary would be solely consecrated to the worship of God. In keeping with this vow, Mary was taken to Jerusalem, where Zechariah was to look after her. It is also stated there that Mary retreated to a sanctuary in Jerusalem. Here we are told that the location of that sanctuary was in the eastern part of Jerusalem. Following a custom of her time, Mary concealed herself from other people by means of a drawn curtain. It is also pertinent at this point to show the error of those who, out of consideration for the biblical account, have expressed the view that the eastern location mentioned in the present verse is Nazareth. This, however, is patently wrong, for Nazareth is situated to the north of Jerusalem, not to the east of it.
قَالَتْ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ مِنْكَ إِن كُنْتَ تَقِيًّا.
Mary exclaimed, I surely take refuge from you with the most compassionate Lord, if you are at all God-fearing.
قال إنما أنا رسول ربك لأهب لك غلاما زكيا.
He said, I am just a message bearer of your Lord. I have come to grant you a most pure boy.
قالت أنى يكون لي غلام ولم يمسسني بشر ولم أك بغيا.
Mary said, How can a boy be born to me when no man has even touched me, nor have I ever been unchaste?
قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي هين ولنجعله آية للناس ورحمة منا وكان أمرا مقضيا.
The angel said, Thus shall it be. Your Lord says, It is easy for me, and we shall do so in order to make him a sign for mankind and a mercy from us. This has been decreed. The angel said, Thus shall it be. Your Lord says, It is easy for me, and we shall do so in order to make him a sign for mankind.
We have earlier discussed the significance of the angel's statement, So shall it be. In response to Zechariah's exclamation, see note 6 above. The angel's utterance obviously does not mean that some human being would have physical contact with her, whereby she would give birth to a son. It will be recalled, as we have pointed out, that Zechariah also expressed his amazement at the possibility of a child being born to him in his very old age and when his wife was barren. Significantly, the response of the angel on both counts was exactly the same. So shall it be. Obviously, then, the meaning of both the places is bound to be the same. Likewise, in Surah Al-Dhariyat, the angel gives Abraham, peace be upon him, the good news of the birth of a son. On hearing this, Abraham's wife too exclaims incredulously, How would a barren old woman such as herself give birth to a child. To this the angel says the same, so shall it be. See Al-Dhariyat 51:28-30. The meaning then is crystal clear. Sarah would give birth to a son despite her old age and barrenness. Now, were we to take the Quranic statement here to mean that someone would have physical contact with Mary, as a result of which she would give birth in the manner of all other women, then the statements which follow would become meaningless. For if the birth were to take place according to the known process of procreation, why should the angel say, "Your Lord says, this is easy for me, and we shall do so in order to make him a sign for mankind and a mercy from us." Verse 21. The word ayah, sign, in this context, definitely signifies miracle. The same is corroborated by the following part of the verse. That is easy for me. Thus, what is being said here can only mean one thing, that this child's birth would be a miracle which God wanted to place before the Israelites. The details that follow make the miraculous character of Jesus, peace be upon him, even more evident.
فَحَمَلَتْهُ فَانْتَبَذَتْ بِهِ مَكَانًا قَصِيًّا.
Then she conceived him and withdrew with him to a far-off place. Then she conceived him and withdrew with him to a far-off place.
The Quranic expression, a far-off place, occurs with reference to Bethlehem. It was natural for Mary to move away from her place of confinement in Jerusalem to Bethlehem. She was, as we all know, the daughter of the most pious Israelite family, the house of Aaron, peace be upon him. And she had consecrated herself exclusively to a life of devotion and worship. But then suddenly she became pregnant. Had she stayed on in Jerusalem and her pregnancy been discovered, her life would have been made miserable by all kinds of people, whether by members of her own family or by other Israelites. Hence, Mary simply left her place of worship, hoping that at least until the birth of her child, she would be spared public denunciation, slander, and scandalization. The event itself is strong evidence proving that Jesus, peace be upon him, was indeed born without a father. For had Mary been a married woman and she had become pregnant by her husband, there was no reason for her to abandon all her relatives and head to a far-off place merely to give birth to her child.
فَأَجَاءَهَا الْمَخَاضُ إِلَى جِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ قَالَتْ يَا لَيْتَنِي مِتُّ قَبْلَ هَذَا وَكُنْتُ نَسْيًا مَنْسِيًّا.
Then the birth pangs drove her to the trunk of a palm tree, and she said, "Oh, would that I had died before this and had been all forgotten." Then the birth pangs drove her to the trunk of a palm tree, and she said, "Oh, would that I had died before this and had been all forgotten."
This verse enables one to gauge Mary's suffering and anguish. If one remembers the gravity of the situation, it is easy to grasp that she did not utter these words because of intense labor pains. Rather, what tormented her was the awkward situation in which she found herself, and she did not know how she was going to come out of it. For up until then, she had somehow been able to hide her pregnancy, but once the child was born, she could no longer hide the situation. The consoling words of the angel, "Grieve not," verse 24, also indicate why Mary had uttered those anguished words. For the psychology of a married woman who gives birth to her first child is well known. Even when she rides in unbearable pain, she is far removed from grief and sorrow.
فَنَادَاهَا مِن تَحْتِهَا أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيًّا.
Thereupon the angel at the foot of her cried out, "Grieve not, for your Lord has caused a stream of water to flow beneath you."
وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ تُسَاقِطَ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيًّا.
Shake the trunk of the palm tree towards yourself, and fresh and ripe dates shall fall upon you.
فَكُلِي وَاشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنًا. فإما ترين من البشر أحدا فقولي إني نذرت للرحمن صوما فقولي إني نذرت للرحمن صوما فلن أكلم اليوم إنسيا.
So eat and drink and cool your eyes, and if you see any person, say to him, Verily, I have vowed a fast to the most compassionate Lord, and so I shall not speak to anyone today. So eat and drink and cool your eyes, and if you see any person, say to him, Verily, I have vowed a fast to the most compassionate Lord, and so I shall not speak to anyone today.
Mary was asked to say nothing concerning the baby. If anyone raised an accusing finger at the child's birth, it would be for God to explain the reality of the matter. It may be recalled that this type of fast, a fast involving abstinence from speech, was quite customary among the Israelites. This directive is also suggestive of the true reason for Mary's disconcertion. It is also worth considering why a married woman giving birth to her first child would have resorted to a fast of silence.
فأتت به قومها تحمله قالوا يا مريم لقد جئت شيئا فريا.
Then she came to her people carrying her baby. They said, O Mary, you have committed a monstrous thing.
يا أخت هارون ما كان أبوك امرأ سوء وما كانت أمك بغيا.
O sister of Aaron, your father was not an evil man, nor was your mother an unchaste woman. O sister of Aaron, your father was not an evil man, nor was your mother an unchaste woman.
This may be interpreted in two ways. Taken literally, it may mean that Mary had a brother named Aaron. Alternatively, in accordance with Arabic idiom, it may be taken to mean that she was a member of Aaron's house, peace be upon him. For according to the known Arabic linguistic tradition, a person is referred to as the brother of the tribe to which he belongs. If a person belongs to Mudar, he is at times addressed, O brother of Mudar, or as a brother of Hamadan, if he belongs to Hamadan. There are reasons to support each of these two interpretations. As for the first, there are traditions from the Prophet, peace be upon him, saying so. As for the second, it seems to be supported by the context. For the event gave rise to such a commotion among the people that it can hardly be considered to be simply the case of the virgin sister of some unknown person called Aaron who returned home with a newborn baby. What enraged the public was that the apparently scandalous incident involved a girl who belonged to the most highly pious Israelite family, the house of Aaron, peace be upon him. In principle, when there is a tradition which can be traced back to the Prophet, peace be upon him, no other interpretation is admissible. However, when we consider the actual words of the tradition concerned, in Muslim, Al-Nasai and Al-Tirmidhi, it becomes clear that they necessarily mean that Mary had a brother named Aaron. In the report narrated by Mughira ibn Shubah, it is stated that a Christian from Najran raised the objection that the Quran spoke of Mary as Aaron's sister while Aaron had passed away centuries before her. Mughira ibn Shubah was unable to provide any satisfactory explanation, and so he placed the matter before the Prophet, peace be upon him. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Why did you not tell them that the Israelites used to name their children after messengers and other righteous persons? What this statement suggests is that the objection could have been resolved in that manner, and that instead of cutting a sorry figure, Mughira could have given a satisfactory answer by responding in such a way. 19a. Those who deny the miraculous birth of Jesus, peace be upon him, can hardly explain the people's uproar when Mary returned to them with her baby. Nothing else but the birth of a child to an unmarried girl could explain such outraged feelings.
فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ قَالُوا كَيْفَ نُكَلِّمُ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الْمَهْدِ صَبِيًّا.
Thereupon, Mary pointed to the child. They exclaimed, How can we speak to one who is in the cradle, a mere child? Thereupon Mary pointed to the child. They exclaimed, "How can we speak to one who is in the cradle, a mere child?"
Some of those who have been engaged in distorting the meaning of the Quran have been inclined to put the following interpretation on this verse. What should we talk to him who is merely a child of yesterday? They thus hold that this conversation took place at a time when Jesus, peace be upon him, was in his youth. The elderly Israelites were contemptuously disinclined to talk with him who was so much younger than themselves, someone who not long ago used to lie in his cradle before their very eyes. Anyone who cares to consider the verse in its correct context, however, will instantly realize that this interpretation is simply absurd. It also becomes obvious the recourse that has been made to this far-fetched interpretation merely because of the disinclination of the persons concerned to affirm miracles. However, such people have allowed themselves to disregard the fact that such objections were made at the time of Jesus' birth and not when he had grown into a young man, peace be upon him. Moreover, there are other Quranic verses, see Al-Imran 3, 46 and Al-Ma'idah 5, 113, which mention Jesus, peace be upon him, as uttering these words while he was a baby and in his cradle. We learn from Al-Imran 3, 46, that the angel, while giving the good news of the coming birth of a son to Mary, also said that Jesus, peace be upon him, would speak to people both while in his cradle and as a youth. In Surah Al-Ma'idah 5, 113, God himself tells Jesus, peace be upon him, that he will speak to people while still in his cradle as well as during his youth. 20a. It is significant here that Jesus is not mentioned as one who is dutiful to his parents, but rather as one who is dutiful to his mother. This itself suggests that he did not have a father. Evidence which further corroborates this is that Jesus, peace be upon him, is invariably referred to in the Quran as Jesus, son of Mary, peace be upon him.
عبد الله آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا.
The child cried out, "Verily, I am Allah's servant. He has granted me the book and has made me a prophet."
وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة ما دمت حيا.
And has blessed me wherever I might be, and has enjoined upon me prayer and zakah, purifying alms, as long as I live. And has made me dutiful to my mother. He has not made me oppressive, nor bereft of God's blessings.
والسلام علي يوم ولدت ويوم أموت ويوم أبعث حيا.
Peace be upon me the day I was born, and the day I will die, and the day I will be raised up alive. Peace be upon me the day I was born, and the day I will die, and the day I will be raised up alive.
The sign referred to above is the person of the Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, who was presented as a miracle before the Israelites. Before punishing the Israelites for their persistent wickedness and corruption, God wanted to make things indubitably clear so that they were left with no excuses for their errors. This was done in the following manner. A God-fearing and devout girl of the house of Aaron, who had been set apart for a life of devotion in Jerusalem, and who had been under the care and guidance of Zechariah, became, by God's will, pregnant while she was still a virgin. All this was with a particular design in mind, the purpose being that when she appeared with a child in her lap, creating a huge uproar within the nation, and when virtually the entire Israelite nation, in a state of anger and disgust, thronged around Mary, God made the baby speak to them. Thereafter, when that same child had attained maturity and claimed to be a prophet, thousands could testify to the earlier miracle they themselves had witnessed. For instance, Jesus, peace be upon him, speaking from his cradle. Now, if those people still refused to recognize him as a prophet, and instead of dutifully following him, charged him with being a criminal and sought to crucify him, they should be dealt a punishment more severe than that meted out to all other peoples.
ذلك عيسى بن مريم قول الحق الذي فيه يمترون.
This is Jesus, the son of Mary, peace be upon him. And this is the truth about him concerning which they are in doubt.
ما كان لله أن يتخذ من ولد سبحانه إذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون.
It does not behove Allah to take for himself a son. Glory be to him. When he decrees a thing, he only says, be, and it is. It does not behove Allah to take for himself a son. Glory be to him. When he decrees a thing, he only says, be, and it is.
The thrust of the argument so far clearly reveals that the Christian belief in Jesus, peace be upon him, is false. Although John was born in a miraculous manner, peace be upon him, this birth did not make him God's son. Similarly, although Jesus, peace be upon him, too, was born by means of another miracle, this in no way provided any reason for considering him to be God's son. Jesus' birth, peace be upon him, was no more miraculous than John's, peace be upon him, and there are no grounds for referring to John as God's son. Remember that according to reports which are accepted by Christians, both John and Jesus, peace be upon them, were born miraculously. In Luke, both miracles are described in terms which bear close resemblance to the Quranic version of the miracles. Hence, the Christian exaltation of Jesus, peace be upon him, as God's Son, is simply an act of doctrinal exaggeration, which is shorn of all justification.
وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُوهُ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ.
Jesus, peace be upon him, had said, indeed, Allah is my Lord and your Lord, so serve him alone. This is the straight way. Jesus, peace be upon him, had said, indeed, Allah is my Lord and your Lord, so serve him alone. This is the straight way.
The Christians are told that Jesus' message, peace be upon him, was the same as that of all other prophets before him. He called people to serve none but the one true God. It was they, the Christians, who made Jesus, peace be upon him, a servant of God into God, and associated someone other than God in his divinity. This was merely an innovation of the Christians themselves, an innovation with which Jesus, whom they claimed to follow, had nothing to do with.
فَاخْتَلَفَ الْأَحْزَابُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمْ فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ مَشْهَدِ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ.
But different parties began to dispute with one another. A dreadful woe awaits on that great day for those that reject the truth. But different parties,
references made here to the various Christian sects which hold mutually differing views.
أسمع بهم وأبصر يوم يأتوننا لكن الظالمون اليوم في ضلال مبين.
How well shall they hear and how well shall they see on the day they come to us? But today the evildoers are in manifest error.
وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَةِ إِذْ قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ وَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ.
O Muhammad, peace be upon him, warn those who are steeped in heedlessness and are obstinately rejecting the truth that the day shall come when things will be finally decided and they shall be left with utter remorse.
إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَرِثُ الْأَرْضَ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا وَإِلَيْنَا يُرْجَعُونَ.
Ultimately, we shall inherit the earth and whatever is on it. To us shall they be returned. Ultimately, we shall inherit the earth and whatever is on it. To us shall they be returned.
This concludes the discourse as addressed to the Christians. For a proper understanding of its significance, one should recall the historical background to this surah as stated in its introductory section. See paragraphs 139 to 43 above. The present discourse was revealed at a time when the oppressed Meccan Muslims were making their way towards Abyssinia to seek refuge in that Christian dominion. The purpose of revelation of the discourse, therefore, seems to have been to enable the Muslims to come forward with this official and authoritative statement whenever questions about the Islamic standpoint on Jesus, peace be upon him, might arise. Additionally, the discourse seeks to establish the fact that Islam teaches Muslims not to make any compromise in matters relating to truth. The religious fervor of these righteous Muslim migrants to Abyssinia is all the more remarkable since they expressed the true doctrinal position about Jesus, peace be upon him, before the court of a Christian emperor at a time when that court was strongly inclined to accept a bribe to hand them over to their enemies. It was obvious to the Muslims that their forthright criticism of the Christian doctrine might enrage Negus, and that as a result he might return them to the ruthless Meccan unbelievers. Notwithstanding the precariousness of their situation, they showed remarkable strength of faith and showed not even the slightest hesitation in speaking the truth.